January 12th, 2026, and the time is 5:30. Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, please note that this meeting is being live streamed and recorded. There are two cameras in use this evening, one focused on the Board of Education and another one that may be used during public commentary or presentations. By participating in this meeting, you acknowledge that you may be captured on video. Thank you for your understanding and for joining us tonight. Next is discussion items, and I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw.
All right, well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to January 2026. So our first item we're going to get into tonight is school buses, the thoughts around purchasing of school buses, what this all may look like. Tonight's goal is asking all of our board members to really engage with Karen, Patty, and all of us into this conversation around what might be the wisest next steps to take. They're going to give you a lot of information. I've talked with Jamie, and if you have requests, you'll make sure that those are down so we can make sure we've gathered any information that's needed that may not be talked about tonight. Tonight is just we're having a big conversation. Items, documents that may be needed down will be handed to you later on, because tonight is more about they're just going to go through really a presentation, not even a presentation, talking about what our fleet looks like, the age of our fleet, past practices. Okay, there used to be a big practice in our school district on how buses were purchased, how many at a particular time. The last time that buses were purchased and the amount of money spent, and then the whole idea of how things have transformed. So we have Karen and Patty are with us tonight. So Karen runs the shop area, and Karen's been with the district since 97, I think. 96, shoot. I was hoping to be close. Okay, so she's been with Monroe Public Schools, hired as a third party, but is truly a Monroe Public Schools person. And then Patty took over almost 3 years ago now, transportation directorship. It's actually been 3 years, and has just been doing a whale of a job out there. So, ladies, if you can step up, make sure that microphone is on, and why don't you just go into a little bit of history of what's going on in transportation with our buses here.
You're funny. All right. Is everybody on the board aware that we retired 15 buses in 2023? Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, because that's an important part of this piece of the puzzle. We retire.
Danny, why were they retired?
They were retired because of age. They were no good anymore to put on the road, more costly, rust repairs, engine repairs. We can definitely go through a lot more detail on that, but they were not safe to put on the road anymore and transport our students.
That and the fact that at the time, we didn't need that many buses. Literally every driver had two buses at the time, that we were making them swap just so that they could go down the road. So I think you have a lot more runs back.
Yeah.
Than we had back then a couple years ago too.
So that's, you know, post-COVID era, you know, so now our numbers are back up. Last year, we had 34 routes on the road. This year, we only have 33. But the problem is that we need to build routes to service our students correctly. So we have six buses that have almost capacity of children, which capacity is 50. That's occasionally three per seat, but really two per seat. And then I have about seven special needs that really need to be created. And so you guys understand I have one special needs bus currently housing our Custer students. And some of these kids are on the bus an hour and a half. Oof. Just to get to and from school. So you can imagine their special needs while they're on that bus and having them after a long school day put on a bus, what that causes. So the ideal times are not there yet. We have a combo run with middle school in fifth and sixth. And in that run in the afternoon, the kids are on the bus for 2.5 hours one way.
Say that again.
2.5 hours.
No, the first part of it.
They're on the bus.
Yeah, who?
middle school and 5-6. They are outlier areas, but that is not acceptable to me.
2.5 hours one way?
Yes. So the afternoon run is 3 hours. So about, it's about, kids are on the bus about 2.5 hours.
Is that Raisinville?
That is Raisinville territory, yes. But it is the middle school in 5-6. The other bus run that goes out there, there's two that are handling the combos. The other one is out there for just shy of 2 hours with students aboard. They're very long runs. We're doing what we can to be efficient, get all the kids to and from school. But that means those buses can't do a high school. Those buses can't help with an elementary run that needs to be done. And I don't think it's, I think it's a disservice to have our kids on the bus that long after a long school day, too.
Is there a policy or somewhere an hour?
Well, it can be a our goal is always within an hour, but it's not just due to, part of the problem is the number of drivers you have also. So the choice would be you cancel runs like we did. Fortunately, you guys weren't on the board yet. Well, we just started when we had it back in that. My very first year here when we had to cancel runs out in the Raisinville area because we were short drivers.
Yep.
Okay. And so our factor right here is we have 33 drivers.
Correct. Oh, I thought you said this was related to buses.
It is. Yeah. So there's 33 drivers driving 33 runs.
Buses. So yeah. All buses are being driven with all four
We have
drivers.
A couple spare
so
buses.
A driver is.
Yeah. It's
so the drivers now I'm at the point where we are going to be adding drivers that we need buses to put them in, to put them in to create runs.
Okay. Okay. So how many buses do we have that
42.
Are, okay, 42.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That is regular ed and special needs buses combined.
So. Okay.
So we have to have some spares because buses break down. And so when they go down, we have to be able to replace them with a bus, mm-hmm. otherwise we're canceling a route. The buses are full. They are very efficient this year with the board approving the signing up for transportation. That has really helped make sure that kids that need the service are getting the service they need. The problem is time now. We need to get the time down in order to better serve our students.
So is the time 2.5 to 3 hours? So we have all buses, that 33 buses with all 33 drivers. So what are you saying is needed to get that time down?
We've got buses and drivers in training currently that are working on getting prepared to take their CDL test. So now we need buses in the door for me to put the drivers in those seats in order to create runs.
But that's a few months out. So
no,
these kids...
we're talking weeks out at this point.
How many buses do you...
We have 42 buses in the fleet. Mm-hmm. Right now she has 33 of them filled, but if yeah. she hires, so we have 8 sub buses.
Okay,
so if she hires, and one of those is a lift bus,
correct,
mm-hmm. 3-quarter lift.
Okay.
So when she hires the drivers to break up the run so the students aren't on the run, you know, there for 2.5 hours, we don't have any buses, we don't have any spares.
What sub buses mean?
Spare buses.
So you don't use them, you only keep them?
No, we use them, yeah. But like, so I have 4 people that need a bus to work on.
We don't know your process, so bear with me, please.
So each one of my techs that's there needs something to work on during the day. So say that's 4 buses right there. And so if we literally have 2 buses that are down right now that are old buses waiting for parts.
So a sub-bus
so right now I have 6 buses down just so that we can work on them and waiting for parts.
Plus, if a bus breaks down on the street,
on the road,
send out a spare bus.
Patty and I have become pretty innovative the last couple of school years, yeah. making things work. And then when we get inspected next month, my inspector requires that there's 8 buses for him to inspect for that day. So
we only have 8 sub buses.
Yeah, so yeah. we're.
So they've been running these 2.5 hour runs since the beginning of the school year?
Yeah. And they've gotten, you know, as kids have been added that need signed up for transportation, then the routes get longer because there's out in the outliers are door to door.
So you tell us how many students that affects with those long routes? Sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So on the one that is the longest time on the road, there are 53 students assigned to the bus. She has 48 stops that she has to do, and she puts in 101 miles a day.
Roughly 45, well, how many, 101? Isn't that the one that's 45 minutes?
That this one is...
45 miles, but how long does it take?
Well, it's 40, most of her territory is about 45 miles per hour, but she's going that whole thing to get the kids picked up from school, get them all home and back to base, is 101 miles.
So how many buses hit the two-hour or longer mark? I'm sure you have student count, too.
So for the two-hour mark, we have the 5-6 in the middle school combos are the longest runs. I have one at ISD that is running 2 hours. So I looked up an hour or longer.
Okay.
So for Custer, that makes 5 buses. For the high school, that is 19.
19 buses?
Mm-hmm. Cantrick, that's 3. Combo, that is all 3 buses that are combo out in the north. Raisinville, that is 4 buses. Hollywood is 2 buses. Waterloo, 1 bus.
I can't write that fast. I'm
sorry.
Combo, I meant combo.
Combos are 5-6 in middle school. So okay. There's 4 buses that are over an hour. Raisinville, there's 4 buses over an hour. Hollywood, there are 2 buses. And there are only 2 buses, if it tells
you. So there's only 2, and both of those are over an hour.
Yep. Waterloo has 1 bus that is over an hour. Middle school, there are 2. Manor, there is 1 bus over an hour. And ISD has 5.
See, you've been doing this a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... I know we've had these conversations before about the hour. We always want to try to hit the hour mark. And
by state law, the only age group that has a limit is preschool.
We understand that, but for our conversation,
It
was always understood that we don't want kids on the bus longer for an hour. And
correct.
I know those were the conversations. So is this what it was last year? Because I know we've talked about this many times over. I never remember it being like, I never heard 2.5, 3 hours before.
It is, I don't have the numbers for this year for the times. I have last year's routes pulled, but I didn't calculate the times. I can tell you this year is more because there's more kids riding the bus.
So it sounds like though the 5-6 might have caused some of this because of the way the routes are running too.
Well, it's not really that it caused.
I don't want to be caused, but
yeah, I mean, all those kids would have had to go into a building regardless. So, like Arborwood last year had 4 buses to transport their students. You know, they have 2, and neither one of those buses.
Yeah, but they're
full.
Picking up kids from the entire system, whereas before you were going to location.
Right.
You're still doing district wise, Larry.
Yeah, they're still district.
They're still going in the same area.
Last year, the combos were high school and middle school together.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of it went from high school and middle school were the outliers, this year it went from middle school and 5-6 because the timing grew better.
So they get out of school at what time?
I didn't bring the times
now,
with me.
No, someone here must know.
The middle school gets out at 2:45.
Yeah.
And if they're on the bus for 2.5 hours, like 5:15.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. It's a long time. Mm-hmm. And we have squeezed everything we can in efficiency and routes and move kids around. There's no more wiggle room for me to do besides adding more routes, adding more drivers, which takes buses.
So ideally to get everybody to an hour or less, how many more buses do you need?
Honestly, we really should replace the ones we already retired, which was the 15, but minimally 10.
10.
Yeah, the fastest we can fix this for these kids,
yes. the better.
The fact this has been going on September, October, November, December, and we're already into January.
Correct.
That gives me heart, like, it just bothers me.
Yeah, and we, I'm at the point now where I have drivers to put behind the wheel. So every driver that we've had, every route, this means that, you know, both dispatchers have been driving. Annette, my second in command, has been driving. Like, everybody that can be in a bus to help our students has been out there driving. The other part of this is that we have to get us where we need to be to take care of our students today, and we need to create a plan so we don't get in this deficit again, so that we have the buses in the lot and a plan going forward, so we're not waiting 4 or 5 years and then getting stuck with this big hurdle.
How many buses in your current fleet? Let's say we add 10 buses, but potentially you might lose a few buses because of the age?
We will say that if we got 10 buses tomorrow,
yeah,
we can't get rid of any.
Okay.
But I also have a 3-year plan for...
Well, that's my point. You can't get rid of any now.
This time, correct.
Are you got some, like, start next year that just are...
Well, we've out-serviced 3 this year that were... not cost-effective to repair.
Is there such thing as rent a bus so we can address this for the kids right now? Like, this really bothers me.
We got to bring some clarity, okay? Fatty, I really need you to bring some clarity to the beginning of the year. Because it first started out with shortage of drivers.
Well, okay? And we didn't have this many kids riding. So it didn't start off in September being a 3-hour bus ride.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. We had... you know, maybe 20 kids in that area that signed up for busing.
Mm-hmm. I thought they had to sign up before there was a deadline for signing up for transportation.
Yeah, and then it went out again, and then it got, and so we had this wait list for a while because we didn't have room on buses, and then...
We did achieve that, though.
We did. Everybody has a bus. I did figure it out. But parents have said, hey, my home life has changed, and I want my student to ride the bus. Or I've moved into the area, I want my student to ride the bus. So, you know, we have tracked all those kids and got them on buses. If the school registers a new student, we have a list, a Google Doc, and they put the information on and then our team routes them. So we have added hundreds of kids to buses since the beginning of the school year. Actually, I get very few.
Really?
Luckily, most of our parents are understanding
okay.
that we don't, this is the best we can do. We're not, mm-hmm. we're not trying to do this to be cruel or to allow their kids to stay on the bus. Some parents' workarounds may be, hey, I'm going to have my kids stay after for SST mm-hmm. or AST, and then they go home with those groups. Or my kid plays sports, so I only am dealing with this in the morning. Waterloo and Hollywood, they have the after school program. So some kids stay there for that. So that does off balance a little bit.
So they're on the bus that long in the morning. What time do they have to get on the bus?
Our first buses leave out about 5:15, 5:30 in the morning.
So elementary school or we'll say
it'll be high school first.
So Cantry kids would need to get on the bus 2.5 hours before school starts, and school starts at 8?
Yeah. So the combo buses cannot pick up any high school kids. It doesn't work timing-wise. They cannot pick up elementary kids because it doesn't work timing-wise. So they literally go out and pick up middle school, 5, 6 together, and you're talking they're all in the same neighborhood. They're down the same road. And they're picking them up, and then they drop the middle school, and then they go drop 5, 6.
But they'd have to get on the bus at the minimum 5:45, 5:30.
Mm-hmm. If they're at the beginning of the run.
Do all of these long runs have an aid on the bus?
Yes.
And how many behavior issues have we had because of these long routes?
We don't out there. We have the typical behavior problems in the higher numbered buses.
I would say bathrooms being an issue. Like, I'm not joking. We're talking kids.
No, 100%.
Like, not everybody remembers to go to the bathroom before you get on a bus, and you're going to be on it for 2.5 hours. Like, where could we be? But down to Cleveland? Past Cleveland?
You're right.
Yeah, it's a long time. And there's no way for us to make a correction at this point.
Obviously, we didn't know this because we're having a hard time processing.
Yeah. Just understand, it didn't start that way into September. It's progressed that way as everybody keeps adding students. And now we're at the point that we need to take it to the next step. And I have, been trying to be honest as I can in board briefs on things that this is something that needed to be solved in order to come up with a solution.
So what is it you would like from us in a perfect world? I know you got a game plan up there. So in your perfect world, tell all of us up here, what do you need us to do for you?
So we need to come up with a solution how to get buses in the door as fast as we can.
All right, what's your plan?
Okay.
Karen's on pricing, not me.
I've been in contact with the international dealer, and they actually have 10-plus buses in their lot that are brand-new 2027s. They do not have any, lease returns or anything like that we could get at a cheaper price. And right now they're running, I think, $149.5.
Just for anybody that knows, that's not $149.
Yes. Yes.
It's not a matchback car.
Sounded a little bit better than saying $149,000.
So the total comes out to be for
about
all 10 buses,
$1.5 million.
Do we get a discount for bulk?
I know, I already asked that. We did want to try to go gas next, but they don't have any gas buses on the lot, so these would all be air brake diesel buses.
Oh, we don't want to do that. We just had that whole conversation.
I mean, it is what it is. Yeah.
She learned more today, so I just had a quick one-off. Because I'm working off of older knowledge where when I've done gas buses before, it's a different style engine, less oil, all that stuff. New specs are coming out. The only cost, the bigger cost thing, as Karen was just telling me, I'm going to have her speak on this, has to do with the cost of the fuel. So the cost at the pump between diesel and gas, that's where the savings is. Mm-hmm. The PM work, it sounds like listening to her talk, about eight quarts different, roughly.
It is a little bit cheaper, too, because we won't have the new emission systems on the gas.
Yeah.
And that costs a fortune.
That's what makes the smoke out the back that you guys complain about.
Yes. Can we just pause for 1 second?
I know.
So I want you to address why some of our buses, when you're out there in the road and you see them smoking.
Oh, I called Andy. I'm like, Andy.
Explain why there's smoke coming out the back of the buses.
So all the buses that have new emission systems, which are required by federal emissions, they all have DPFs, diesel particulate filters, if you don't know what that is, which when they start smoking, there's soot that it gathers everything from the air. All this soot builds up inside the DPF, and the bus needs to regen in order to clean it out. Most of our buses do not get up to high enough speed in order for that process to occur. It needs to be up to 55 miles an hour for 20 to 30 minutes. So we have Patty's worked with us pretty well to have a driver jump in the bus and drive down the highway to Newport and then back or whatever, trying to get it up to speed.
Blow it out.
Newer buses don't do it because we utilize those on trips, so a lot of times those buses are on the highway. So when you see all that smoke, I mean, we try park regens, we drive them when we can.
But it was all white smoke.
Oh, that's what it is.
Whatever you want to call it.
That's what it is.
I would tell you, I get more complaints on that than anything
actually
else.
Actually, is what's supposed to happen in order for the bus to regen.
I did. I literally called him.
Yeah.
So for all of us that remember driving a car, vehicle with a cat, with a,
catalytic converter.
No, not catalytic, but the, with the gas, I always go through, you clean out the
carburetor.
So clean out the carburetor. That's what this is really about. Clean out the carburetor on a diesel. But
Well,
so I actually appreciate that call because I didn't know until I made the call. And like, that's what you got to do.
Well, common sense tells me right off the bat, diesel's about $1 a gallon more consistently.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's a lot of money.
I can give you numbers.
Yeah. Oh,
do you get much better mileage with the diesel? Because that's always the benefit of a diesel.
It's actually, you get a little bit more with gas.
Oh, really?
But looking at last year's cost of how many miles we drove in the buses, and I used this last fill-up that I did for diesel, which was at $2.22 a gallon. So, and then I did it in gas, I don't have any regular gas pricing current, so I asked for their current today, which was $1.89. So the difference between the two for last year's mileage would have been $70,586 in fuel cost.
More expensive better for the diesels.
Yeah, right. For gas being, we would have been, if we were all gas, we would have saved money.
70,000 total?
Yeah.
Or 70,000 in difference between the two?
That's in difference between a diesel.
If our whole fleet would have been gas?
If our whole fleet would have been gas.
In addition to our, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I understood exactly.
So diesel, figuring out how many miles per.
Half a bus.
It was $196,701 for diesel cost.
If I may, Roland, is everybody's mics on? Because for some reason, it doesn't seem like it's picking up as yours is here.
I just have to say that I watched the video of the last meeting and I couldn't hear hardly any of you. There was a couple of board members I couldn't hear. That was difficult to hear, so I don't know if it was a mic issue or maybe our.
Because a lot of times people get in the habit of pushing the mics away.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure you're speaking directly into it because it is hard to hear.
Staff, too, when you all talk, because I couldn't, there was, you couldn't hear you guys either on the last meeting. Thank you for bringing that up. But.
No problem. I watched the signal and I'm like, it's not as strong as what it normally is, so yeah. I wanted to make sure everybody's.
So there's 10 diesel buses ready to go. If we want gas, we have to spec it out, which means they have to be built and we have to buy them.
And if we spec out, so these the pricing that we got right now, they have what they call MSBO pricing, which is for the state, which is what he sent me. And the $149.5 is what the bus 2027s on the lot cost. But if we don't jump on those before February 13th, MSBO pricing closes till mid-March, and then, which I'm assuming is going to go up.
Everything.
Yeah, so come March, the price is going to be higher.
Do they have?
And then we would have to, I asked him five times in emails today what the turnaround time was to build a bus, and he never answered me, so.
Well, that's why I figured we were months out because.
Well, they just happen to have 10-plus sitting on their lot that they pre-built. This dealership we buy from Midwest, which is in Marshall, Michigan, and they're pretty good about keeping brand new buses on their lot in case people need them. And they did that when the new emissions came out because, man, we bought like 12 buses that year because we didn't want the new emissions. So they had them sitting on their lot and we bought all of them.
These are only
10,
for purchase
what year
or
was
is
that?
There the opportunity for lease?
2008, 2009, something like that.
Tom asked if there were any lease options.
You can go either way. And the lease would be straight through them or through a third party?
Cassie, she gets quotes. I did ask him what their interest was right now. I didn't answer that either.
In the past, we have received both the financing interest rate from Midwest because they do finance internally, and then we have banks that we work with, and we typically previously have gone with whoever had the most favorable interest rate. I haven't connected with any banks because they typically want a rough estimate of cost, and since we hadn't spoken about it with the board, we hadn't firmed up where we were leaning, I didn't feel comfortable saying, hey, we have an unknown amount, unknown date, unknown number of items.
just
that's a lot of guessing for them to do on their end.
So Cassie, I do know you have our last purchase. How many buses did we purchase? What was the price of those buses? Individually and in total, how did we pay for it? And
what
all
was
that.
The year?
We purchased 8 buses and it closed in October of 2020. And those 8 buses cost $744,112. And it was financed through Fifth Third Bank. I just have to find the right page for the interest rate.
Just over 744.
744.
2020.
Yep.
So about 95.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The interest rate at that time was 1.72%. So it will be significantly higher than that.
Yeah.
And the other quoted interest rates that we had received from the two other banking institutions were over 2%. So Fifth Third was quite considerably lower.
And we did a...
And we did a three-year payment cycle. And this has been paid off now as well.
And interest rates are easy double.
At minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even look at the price of the buses, even though we're getting two more, that's double, and then the interest rate will be double.
So that was 250-ish thousand then for payment?
Sorry, I have to flip through. Yeah, it was just over $256,000 per payment, which includes principal and interest.
A month?
No.
A year?
It was 3 years an annual payment. Yeah.
They do not have any lift buses either in stock. So if we're going to go for a lift bus, we would have to have that built.
Yeah.
But I did find an interesting thing out today that standard IC standard buses come with driver air now, which is going to be a big plus for our drivers.
Oh, that window thing?
Because we inquired about getting, we go well into June. I mean, plus we have summer school, so we inquired how much it would cost to even add AC to the buses, the in-stock buses that they have, and it's just under $15,000 a bus.
We typically only have AC on the lift buses, but we are finding more and more gen ed kids that have heat-induced seizures. So the fact that we are going longer into and going through the summer, plus it stays hotter through the fall longer, it is posing a risk and a health risk to some of our students that ride that don't need a special trans bus. They need a regular bus, but they do have heat induced. So currently what we do is we have instant ice packs on our bus when we know we have those kids in that, and we try to get them cooled down as quickly as possible.
So what might help you on some math with all of this is knowing a bus is roughly $150,000, you're looking probably, and one of the things I know Karen will go to here in a couple minutes is how to start changing over, and this is what they used to do. So there used to be quite a few years ago, almost a lot of people in this room, they did a six bus rotation, about six buses every year. And
six in, six out.
Yep, and so that was just one of the things that was a practice in the school district.
When did that stop?
When did Kim Hooper leave?
when?
2001.
Well, if you look, we had 18. We bought buses, 2018 buses, and then we didn't buy anything till 2021 buses.
What they ended up doing, we would buy six buses, get rid of six buses. Then there was a gap 1 year where we only got three buses. And then for 2 years, they didn't have the money, so we didn't get buses, so we got 10.
Another year would come.
So you're really talking about back in about 2015-ish was probably maybe in 2013 was the last time that that six bus rotation may have happened.
Yeah, 12, 13, 14, we got nothing. 16, 17, 18, we got nothing. 19, 20, nothing.
Yeah. So our oldest bus on the lot is 2004.
Wow. But it's still rolling.
It's our dinosaur.
230 maybe.
Wow. That's a testament.
But I mean, that bus has been, it's one of the buses that we only use if we absolutely have to. Yeah. So in the last several years, it's not been used that much.
We do use it though. We call it the dinosaur bus.
Yeah.
Cassie, how are we
going to put people in it? They don't know how to run the switches.
That's an excellent question. The only way the district at present could purchase any number of buses would be to obtain a loan for those buses. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of what the cost is, what the interest rate is going to be a payment that can be afforded to be written into the budget.
So two questions. Mm-hmm. One, the impact that we just got a loan. Mm-hmm. And that would be two back-to-back, probably in less than 60 days, mm-hmm. easy. The second question is, based on the, what are we calling it with the state?
We've informed them.
Yeah. So where does that fit in it?
So we have in our monthly calls indicated that on the horizon is some need to purchase some buses. So they're aware that we've been considering that until we know what our plan is, we can't tell them what we're choosing to do. We have let them know that we've identified a need, that we do need to purchase some buses.
Do we now, because the situation we're in, need to get their permission?
No.
Okay.
Nope. The status that we're in currently is just a monthly reporting and a monthly review of what we're reporting. They're not directing us to proceed in any certain ways. They're not overseeing any decisions that the board is making. They're just monitoring at this point.
What that would entail is that for sure for next year, we're reducing expenditures by $600,000. So if you went with the example of a buy and just you're looking at $1.5 million, three payments, it's $1.8 million, so $300,000 in interest roughly, $600,000, we're going to have to be reducing next year's expenditures by $600,000.
Well, and possibly more than that.
Well, that's just for these buses.
I'm going to say, yeah.
Straight buses only.
Right,
we're
okay.
Not getting any of all the other stuff. We already know there's other areas, but that's
I'm just saying that's not a one and done. There's other areas
that's why I
said, that we're going to have to make cuts into to be able to afford some.
Right, that's why I was addressing. Right. To purchase buses, it's a guaranteed reduction of $600,000 next year.
Well, you're that's talking happened. 3 years. Since we keep these buses a long time, why do we just finance over 3 years? Why aren't we doing like 5 years?
Okay, that'll be.
I think Ms. Maurice has an answer to that.
So going back to the way that we used to do it, it worked out really well. We were never in a position to where we were having to buy that many buses. Right now, our oldest bus is 22 years old, almost 23. So the manufacturer spec for a school bus is that it's in a regular route for 10 years and sub or spare bus for 2 years. So 12 years in the fleet and out. So that bus is already over by 10 years. We only have 27 of our 42 buses have already aged out that 12 years. So my suggestion and my sheet that I figured out here is just per se that you gave us 10 buses right now. And it took 3 years to pay off those 10 buses. In 3 years from now, if we bought four buses every year, we could overturn our fleet in 9 years. If we bought six buses every year like we used to, we could overturn the fleet in 6 years.
I see what you're
saying. Now, one thing you'd understand that the problem with older buses is that we can't get the parts, which means the buses sit down. And I'm talking as simple as a mirror. Has to be custom made and ordered, and we have to wait for it.
There used to be three mirror companies, and they one bought out the other two. And they're building mirrors as we go. And everybody's first thought is, why don't you just stock extra mirrors? But our fleet is so different that we would have to stock, you know, six different kinds of every single mirror. Yeah, and then, I mean, unless, you know, I could have this one could sit on my shelf for 5 years, you know, because this bus never got hit or whatever. But it's, I mean, you just can't, cost-wise, it's you just can't do it.
So what you would be doing, in essence, is putting into the budget for a three-year movement of $600,000 each year, and the expectation is that would just continue because we've already been used to for every single year doing that. So that's how you get into that rotation
right.
of knowing that those buses, four buses cost. Now, obviously, there'll be more in the future. And
and a lift bus
that.
Is probably another, I'd say, $12,000 to $15,000 more.
Yeah, for
but we have two 2021 lift buses, and the next newest lift bus is a 2011.
So
we have one spare, but it's only a 54-passenger versus 70-passenger.
Uh-huh.
We call them like three-quarter buses, and that's our only sub-lift bus right now. The rest of them have all, I mean, from the special needs students that she's carding, and we used to have two or three of them.
Yeah,
so there's a lot more special needs.
We even have gen ed kids that are in wheelchairs, so they can't be transported with special needs students. So we have to use a lift bus to get those students to provide them the service to get into their buildings, too.
Can we get back into the logic, something that maybe I'm missing here, about the difference between this diesel and the gas? A little bit ago, you guys said $70,000 we could have saved with gas.
With fuel.
Exactly, just with fuel. That's the cost of half a bus.
Correct.
Why would we want to give that money away when we're already having trouble with the diesels, as opposed to waiting a little bit of time and get a gas? And then again, if we have a gas fleet, that cuts down on parts also.
That's why there's a rent a bus.
You know.
That's why I ask if there's a rent a bus option.
Because right now we're in a hurdle on how to take care of our students.
Yeah, but over 5 years at 70 grand, that's $350,000. Mm-hmm. That's 2.5 buses.
Right, coach
just
buses.
In fuel cost.
Yeah.
Just in the time of that 3-year loan. To me, that doesn't make any sense to throw that money away if we don't have to. You know, just on fuel costs.
Does and Midwest
diesel
get into
is
rental?
Not going down in cost.
Huh? Does Midwest rent?
Rent buses? They probably would if they had any, but they don't have any lease returns right now. They're not going to rent a brand new bus.
Okay.
They will lease them to you.
Is there another company that we can purchase from? You know,
or,
about
or lease from? I mean,
there are other companies. I wouldn't recommend the engines that they have.
What if we leased for a few years until we could get?
Do you know what the cost of leasing is, Andy, from being
a Mason? We'd have to. I knew pre-COVID, which the pre-COVID numbers were amazing.
I know that Mason has contacted me, and they are buying their lease returns because they said it's too expensive to lease. I mean, you're throwing your money away leasing, you know.
And keep in mind, the $70,000 is for the entire fleet.
Yeah, right. But still,
at that cost,
my point is, in 3 years, 10 buses wouldn't be as much.
Yeah. 10 buses wouldn't be that much of an impact.
Are the gas buses less expensive than the diesels or same price?
They're actually, he told me today that the gas engine's a little bit more expensive, which kind of shocked Andy and I.
Yeah.
They don't have a complete, like International is just now starting to sell the gas bus.
Mm-hmm.
He did send me something after I waited just to get here because I thought he would send it, and it's very hard to read on my phone because I asked for so many different options. Say, throw air in there and throw stainless steel mirrors in there and let me see what the difference is because, I mean, you guys spend a lot of money on mirrors.
I didn't know that.
It's usually from somebody else hitting us.
It's a good thing that it's a mirror because that means that's an out. It's not getting to the surface of the bus.
But we might have to wait 6 weeks to get
to get it back in. I mean, we literally have taken mirrors off of buses that we're getting rid of.
If my guys are working on a bus
to get a bus,
and I know it's going to be down all week, we rob a mirror off this bus
to get that bus back going,
to keep it back up, and then you know.
Well, and on a lot of those other buses, you were keeping two or three. We had two or three buses that we literally cannibalized.
Yeah, but those are older too, so some of the parts won't fit our newer buses. They work very well for the older fleet, but not for the newer ones.
So in these buses have technology, Wi-Fi, and whatnot on them. So I know we talked about there was a possibility of if the buses are being removed, you could take that technology, put them on the new ones. The new ones, do they have any of the Wi-Fi technology on them?
There's actually something new on the International ones. I don't know about any other manufacturers, but they would give me the login. And I could get on my laptop, and if there's a check engine light on bus 28.
No, I meant the Wi-Fi student
the
usage Wi-Fis.
Oh, these ones only come with the wiring for the cameras. I was just telling Patty earlier, they're already wired, but I don't know if it's compatible.
So what's
with
the
theirs.
Cost? Because that would be a cost on top of the purchase of the buses for any of that technology.
Yeah. We could move their...
If you're not pulling any buses off, you can't move.
We could move the cameras and the set all those up, the hotspots and all that could be moved. If they don't have one.
Moved from where?
From the old bus to the new bus. Before.
But I thought we weren't getting rid of old buses right now.
The first purchase, we wouldn't have any cameras.
We wouldn't have anything.
So you're looking at about $8,000 a bus probably.
So another $80,000.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it cost to put them on before, so.
Closer to 100 probably.
I mean, we haven't got any recent pricing, but it would probably be around $8,000, I would say.
And our old those last set of buses, we were able to do a lot of that work with our E-rate too.
Mm-hmm. Not for the cameras, but for the hotspots for the students.
Yep. We did.
Until the federal government disallow bus Wi-Fi for an E-Rate purchase as of this school year.
All right. Is there another grant out there, Cassie, that we can get?
Not at present for those items. Stuff is always popping up. There's not anything at this time that I'm aware of.
So he haven't responded with the turnaround time on the gas buses? Is that what you said?
He did not.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't. It's been very difficult today.
Yeah, great.
Well, I guess my big question would be for Cassie. Cassie, tell us, what can we afford and what can't we afford? Can we afford 10 buses or can we only afford 2 buses? You know?
We can't afford to not get probably at least 10 buses based on the conversations that I've been involved in with Patty and Karen and Andy. It's not a matter of what we can or can't afford. We can't afford not to based on the age of our fleet. And whatever that payment is will have to be built into next year's budget, and we'll have to account for that with reducing some other expenditures. But we can't afford not to based on the age of our fleet and the number of students that have that are on the wait list because the bus routes are full, or as Ms. McKelvey already indicated, there's some routes that have a long time that the students are on the bus.
So we're looking at approximately $600,000 over the next 3 years to get 10 buses.
Roughly.
Am I correct?
On diesel buses.
Diesel
buses.
Not
gas buses, that we'd rather have gas buses, correct?
I mean, what I want, what we need is two totally different things. But
are there any school districts in the area that have buses that we could
rent?
Rent. Well,
so we're gonna go to
gas buses.
So this is what we're gonna. So Jamie, can you mark this on there so we get this right here? This is gonna be where we're gonna make sure we get a whole bunch of questions to go get answers to. So for example, mine are already written down here. Looking at what are the options around, is there any short-term lease, like a 2-year lease? Is there any, you know, it could be some other company for a gas. Are there rental options for rentals out there? What's the opportunities for other schools? The big one knowing is how long the build is on a gas bus. Once we can get that information and know, that would be vital to then diving into, Cassie, what is the options we have when it comes to a buy? Okay, and that truly, that amount of money, knowing it's going to be roughly, you know, 1.5 ish million rough there to do 10 buses. Likewise, your whole point is if we don't start somewhere on the gas movement, we'll always see that loss of money. So you've got to start somewhere. So how do we get through this period of time to make it work?
He did put at the end of this email, it says, I will work up a production build gas bus so you can compare cost. The Cummins gas engine is rolling out with a pretty steep upcharge. This Shocker. Cummins is rolling it out now with the pricing to be competitive with the 27 EPA compliant 7.2 liter engine next year.
So if those are changing in 2027 EPA, are these diesels going to be okay with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The compliant?
Yeah, okay. Anything. If they were to make any changes emission-wise, you're grandfathered in anyways.
Okay.
So I'm asking to all of our board members, other questions that from what I didn't say, hey, we got to make sure we get answers as soon as possible to get into your hands.
And what's our time frame? Because you said 149 is only good to like March-ish.
February 13th.
Yeah. We have very little time.
Quickly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But I may be able to talk to him if, say, you didn't have financing secured. I don't know if they'd, I mean, he wasn't going to make us put a deposit down last time. I can't say what they would do now. But I could probably get him to hold some if need be.
I mean, imagine he would definitely want a deposit. That's a lot of buses to hold. That's you know, a lot of money to hold.
Do you think we might need a special meeting once they get answers?
So what will happen is you're going to have another meeting here in 2 weeks. You'll get things in board briefs. If we need to call you back in quickly, we will there. But we need to – I want to make sure we get –
I can get the information and send it to you.
Because if we can find rent-a-buses to get these kids right now from riding this long on the bus, that might give us some time to get to the gas-powered ones. Yep. And then hopefully the rent-a-bus option, if it's a real thing, I'm going to pray about it, would be a you know, offset cost because of what you're saving.
If not, that's a business idea.
What? Yeah, there you go. Someone started a business.
Rent a bus.
Yeah, and I'm
I think they're called coach bus lines.
I'm guessing we're not going to be able to get any from areas, local schools, because I see all the time that they've got to cancel routes because they're down buses and drivers.
No, if we don't have enough for the inspector, that is our next beg and borrow to see if we can get a one bus here, two bus there, so we have enough to get through state inspections.
When's that again?
March.
Probably the mid-February. We are going to ask for a special concession this year.
There's always four or five buses.
Maybe if we have
and ask
buses
if you can
already
wait a month or two, you know, hold us
get
off
people
a month
to
or two.
Jump on the buses.
We'll let them know if we got
and
buses
I'm gonna,
coming.
I'll find out tomorrow for the reasoning that I'm asking him for, so I am going to call him tomorrow or the next day, because by the time I get the info, he's probably going to be done for the day. So I'm hoping he can kind of hold off till April.
Just so you guys understand
why. But there's no guarantee the state can walk in with a 1 to 24 hour notice. So I'm going to ask. I'm going to try.
So what is the repercussions if
they red tag a bus?
Huh?
They red tag a bus. And that means the bus can't move and we're canceling routes.
So
if I can't present, he could just pick a bus and red tag it.
Okay.
And that means I can't go off the lot.
And I'm going to be honest right here. When we were talking through this the other day, it's frustrating because as a large school district, we're the ones actually taking the pain, because what will happen is he'll go, okay, I'm going to step away for 2 hours. I'm going to go down middle of the day to Erie Mason or over to Jefferson, inspect two buses, and then come back and keep going on your fleet. And so he's inspecting our fleet while we're in our middle of our runs, but he'll go inspect someone else's fleet while they're not in the middle of their runs. And so it's like...
And typically we would
you never tell the inspector
why wouldn't they inspect them in the summer?
They used to do that.
The state actually, it depends on the inspector. Yeah. The inspector, each inspector has their own area throughout the state.
Okay.
He can pick and choose when he wants to come and where he wants to go.
And we buttered him up,
but save the summertime. The new inspector, he's only been ours for 2 years, but he has a lot of places he has to go and be outdoors. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to do that in the wintertime.
Yeah.
So when we got this guy, he started coming mid-February, you know, 1st of March. And so now starting September 1st of 25, the state has a new regulation that they have to be at your location within 30 days of the last day they inspected you. So if he was done March 1st last year, which it was after that, then he would have to be here before April 1st.
That was hard.
Yeah.
So what I also ask out of our board members is, if tonight you wake up about 2 a.m. and a question runs through your mind, please email it or call me tomorrow so we can get that. We're not going to be limited to the Midwest right now as we look for rentals. We look for other options right here to get us through a period of time. We'll be calling around. But the other part is, like I said, if a question comes up, please get that in our hands so we can make sure to gather that information and get it to you.
I do have a quick question. What percentage of our current fleet is gas? What percentage of our current fleet is diesel?
It's 100% diesel.
It's 100%
diesel. The buses
right now
are diesel.
Okay. And then, so we are hoping to shift gas.
Correct.
In the future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
How does that affect your fuel systems, your tanks? Do you have tanks for gas if we switch to gas? So you can run both fuels?
We run both currently.
Maintenance trucks, most of them. I think we only have one diesel in the support fleet left, and the rest are gas.
Okay.
I was just looking at my notes from questions that were submitted, and I believe there's responses on here that referred October the 1st, that things were updated. So it had to been sometime in October, so I don't have a date on it. But the question was asking, it said, as far as the 5-6 building, they had 1 or 2 buses over an hour. So if that was in approximately, had to have been October or something, I don't believe it's any later than that, and we're only in January, how did we go from 1 or 2 buses over an hour to this many buses? So you're saying from October to January, that was when this entire increase happened, and all of a sudden...
Middle school and 5-6, because those are those buses. So kids that request busing, so football players that are done with sports, cross country, you know, your winter sports are now riding buses. A lot of parents have gone back to work. Kids get their cars taken away in the high school level, so then they end up on a bus. people move in and out, or they've changed, you know, now have an alternative address, they have to go to grandparents after
school. I'm looking at the 1 hour or longer list, because that question was based on an hour. I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night and ask this question.
But I think the question was based on the 5-6 building, right?
That was the 5-6 building.
Correct.
Yeah, this is the hour, the longer than that has to do with the combo.
And 5-6 are 4 combo buses that are 2.5, over an hour.
Over an hour.
So up to 2.5.
And keep in mind that our furthest point from our yard to the north end is a 20-minute drive without picking up any students. So
I understand all that. Again, I'm just trying to process, because I'm like you. I'm just catching up.
Yep, 100%.
I just found out about this. So the shock factor's wearing off a little bit, but I'm like you, what are some things that maybe we could think about that we don't end up in this situation again?
Yeah, honestly, the cutoff that was set and wasn't hard fast really messed with us. So it was put out again, and then it was put out again, and then there's a list. We actually had a wait list for a few months, like even for Raisinville kids to even get on a bus.
What led to the hard stop being unstopped?
That wasn't my decision.
The number of students that were not coming to school.
So it was an attendance issue.
Yep, and need to get kids to school.
Yep. Worst comes to worst, I know you don't want to have multiple bus suppliers, but and I don't know who the other suppliers would be, maybe Bluebird, or I don't know who still makes buses.
They have Holland Bus that does Bluebird, and Hoekstra Transportation up in Troy.
Yeah.
Honestly, we haven't used them in so long.
Yeah.
And what also makes that difficult is if we have warranty issues, then, you know, we're driving 2 hours away to...
And spare parts, I would assume, would be different as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now I can stock parts for certain things, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those buses, I mean, we have 4 different kinds of headlights.
Yeah.
We have 4 different, you know, different bulbs for headlights. Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
What kind of
warranty? But you got to do what you got to do.
What kind of warranty do you get with these buses?
5 years.
5 years, okay.
Yeah. Bumper to bumper, like a car.
Boy, that would be really nice.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain things that, you know, electrical stuff's only a year or whatever, and... You know, there's just different components that have different, but in just it'll say 5 year. We work really well with the international dealer here in town, helps us out sometimes too, so they can push it through. I mean, we had a vendor before when we had Freightliners, and it was 1 day out of warranty, and they would not work with us.
So I have to say, you two are very knowledgeable. You came very well prepared, and you answered a ton of questions. So I appreciate it. I know we all do, and thank you. I'm not saying you're dumb, but I just want to say thanks.
You're welcome.
Like
appreciate
you guys, that. We ask a lot of questions, so thank you.
So we're gonna get these. Go ahead, Sammy.
I was just gonna ask one more quick question. So, if we go the route of buying gas engine buses. Do you anticipate there being any sort of issues having a bus garage that has hypothetically 10 gas buses and then X number of diesel buses and then having to find different people that work on different types of engines?
No, my guys they're fine for either.
Okay.
So just two last items on transportation, just to bring you fully aware. Electric buses, there are grants out there, the whole thing. The grants also pay for infrastructure updating, so that can be an option. But the problem that you run into on the electric side is down the road, you know, what do we do after that 10 years? Well, in the cost of a battery. Brand-new electric buses are $300,000.
What do you do when it's cold out and the battery doesn't want to start?
I'm just, for a year and they're sick.
Yep,
and I will say Jackson replaced their fleet, and they had electric buses catch on fire this last winter.
Yep.
Plus, so,
well, that's they get
hot. You go through tires like crazy with the electric bus.
Yep. So just because you have to, you need to have all the information. The last part is... You do have two other mechanisms to pay for buses. One option is sinking fund. Our sinking fund right now, because it's the old way of how it was approved, buses are not allowed. You'd have to take it back to the voters as a brand new sinking fund. And then you could be, and if the voters passed it, it's, you know, you don't change your numbers, you could use those money, you could use monies from the sinking fund. They allow that, I think it was about 3 years ago, is when the legislature changed the rules on the use of sinking fund dollars. The other option you have is if you went out for a, you know, we talked about like that completion bond mentality, you can also write buses into a bond if you wanted. So so you have, those are your different mechanisms besides obviously.
My issue with the sinking fund is we talked about that $600,000. Yeah. We talked about the other $600,000 because the bond didn't cover it all. So
I don't,
that, my brain's not even, I thank you for bringing it up though, but yeah.
Because I don't want someone coming back, well, hey, you know, we could have used sinking fund or we could have done this. I'm just saying.
I would like to say it's a bottomless, empty, you know, never empties, but
yeah,
find out differently.
Yep. So, all right. Thank you, ladies, very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
For you as soon as possible.
Well done.
So the next item on our list is band instrument discussion. This conversation stems from Pay to Participate this last summer and saying, okay, we remove that burden from the parents of Pay to Participate. And now our next largest group is our students that are in the holding either an instrument or singing. And so you have a piece of paper, it looks like this right here, in your packet, right there. So if you take and you pull that out, you're gonna see that we have 605 kids in fifth through 12th grade who are either in musical theater, are in band, an orchestra, concert, choir, wind ensemble, all the way through. And last week, we met with our middle school band director and high school band director to really bounce through some different ideas on what to do. We used the $100,000 as the parameter. And that's basically roughly what we saved, or what we did not, what I say is that we didn't save it. It's what families are not paying for athletics, okay? So we use that as the marker, okay, of how to go here. The beautiful side of it was our middle school band director really helped guide the conversation around the idea of keeping to the similar philosophy of offsetting a cost per student for what they do at either in the music department and or in the band or orchestra department right there. And so rather than giving the band or each group a lump sum of money, he said, let's do it this way. So what we have in front of you is how it's currently mocked up as an example of taking $100,000 and for the number of band students or people, I'm sorry to say, students that hold an instrument would be $199 that could be used for them. And it's down here at the very bottom. If you go over, you're going to look at the students that are in.
Can I, only because this is my spreadsheet.
Oh, it's 75.
So
I see it
there. The first column is if you take all of the band and orchestra and choir students in 5th through 12th grade and divide the $100,000 equally, it's $165.29 per student. Now, there was some suggestions when we were discussing it to perhaps giving a higher allocation to the band and orchestra students just because they have some additional costs and items that they need for their instruments versus the choir students who do still have some additional expenses for some of the events they go to. So one of the next column is doing $75 per choir student and then the remainder to the band and orchestra students, which would increase their per student to $199.15. And then the last one was I calculated doing a flat $200 per band and orchestra student, and then the remaining, oh, and I realize I have a typo, the remainder would be for the choir students at $72.73 per one of those students. And I apologize for my typo. That last line should be per choir student.
Yeah, so the first column is equal distribution, so each student would have $165. Second column is $199 for a student that has an instrument. A choir student would be $75. The last column would be $200 if you hold an instrument and $72.73 if you're in music, vocal music. Some things for you to understand is that when we sat down with our band directors, things that they talked about was the ability to have instruments repaired, the purchasing of reeds, band camp, things of that sort. A high school student costs right around $1,100 a year when you put band camp and the rental cost of an instrument in there. What we also shared was this, is that an instrument, because it's a rent-to-buy program, is how it works right there, is that the, let's say we used the the $199 column right there, that middle column, as the example. The $199 could be used for band camp. It could be used to fix an instrument. It could be used for solo ensemble. It could be used for any expenses like that. It could not be used to offset the cost of the payment because it's a rent to buy, and then you'd be putting money towards someone that's buying an instrument that they're going to keep. So that's
and if you don't use it, you just lose it.
Correct.
It's not a cash out system and spend. Yeah.
So for a high school student, it's very easy. I mean, you know, they would look at it and go, okay, do we want to allocate? When I say we, the band director will have a spreadsheet with their list of kids on it and say, okay. And go to each instrument, go, how much you want to allocate towards reeds, this, do you need anything for your instrument? Is it needing repairs? To lastly, do we just allocate, or we just take the full amount of money and put it offsetting of a band camp? Go ahead.
Hold, please. So if you're renting your instrument, most of those repairs are included in your contract. So you wouldn't need necessarily to pay for repairs in addition to
the rent. Yeah, we were just using examples that they were saying, I think if the instrument was already paid for, because they have some that have been
and they
family
have,
heirlooms is what the description was.
Yeah, we've used those.
Yep.
They're good forever, right?
If I can add as and both Mr. Goodman and Mr. Wesley both felt strongly about having some flexibility as far as from year to year, not just saying this is for X items. They really felt strongly about having the flexibility for what those students needed that year to support them. And they had a lot of, like we all had a lot of ideas about different things that they could do, and they just felt strongly about having the ability to for the students and them to figure out what was what they needed the most that year.
I understand the concept, but I think if we're allocating money, so when you paid play sports, you knew you were getting to play a sport. And I think on this that there needs to be parameters, and I think that if other things come up, it can also come before the board and say, hey, these are some other things we'd like to look at it. But I do think it needs to be structured, at least on the onset, and then determined after that. Because if there are less students, the money goes up. Because this money will be distributed each year depending on, now, if there's more students than what we're currently sitting with, the numbers could go, will go down because there's only $100,000 to work with. But I do believe that would need, I understand that other things might come up, but I do think it should be structured, at least from the onset, and say it's going to be for this, this, and this.
Okay, you're saying categories identified.
Like rather than just random, we think.
Well,
they would have to give us, they can give us a hard list.
Yeah, they can give us a hard list.
Yeah.
But I don't think it should be a whatever list. I think it really should be tied to what the 100,000 is going for. Yep. If we determine, or they determine, it wouldn't be us, saying these things aren't working, can we come back with a new list, take these off, add these on, and go from there.
And in my, if I may, in my head and the accounting side, if the board moves forward with this thought pattern, I have already have like a separate account sequence set up for other things that's labeled student activity, student trip. There's a couple different options, and I would like to set those up so then it's clearly separate in my ledger as far as what was, you know, the instrumental music supplies, the vocal music supplies, and that's so just so it's a separate item and it's easier for everyone to keep track.
Here's a question because, and this kind of goes also the question to pay for play. For example, for pay for play, if a student, you know, gets into, of course, we're not charging them, so it's probably different there. But here, if a student starts in band, we give him an allocation of money, and then he drops out of band a month later, how do we handle that?
So that comes down back to those, as Darla's already alluding, what's those items for right there?
So we put that.
And so that's a part of it. So like I said, for the high school kids, the easiest is probably is just going to offset band camp because it's a direct reduction on the cost for a parent. Okay, boom, they're easy. The fifth through eighth grade is a little different, okay, because they don't have the band camp. But it's looking at what that list is. And
I think once they give us the list, we'll be able to and they learn a little more.
They both threw out plenty of ideas of things that they do that are extra and not mandatory, but do enhance the students' ability to play and the opportunities that they have.
It was just nice that we had a way that the money could be distributed in an equitable way. I think the other thing that understand it does is hard because it's another $100,000, okay? But what I will argue, though, right now, if we look at from the number of students that you will have impacted from both the athletic side with families and the musical side of this, you know, you're probably approaching that 1,400 student number from 5th through 12th.
And everything's a trade-off. So, you know, when we start looking at, or you or us or whoever starts looking at some of these expenditures that are going to have to be addressed, you know, I'm sure there's some things that we can look at and say, okay, this makes more sense than that, because that's what you have to do when you budget. You know, this we used to be able to do this, we can't do this, but we can do this. So,
no, but it's really, I think, for our parents, you know, we had a lot of parents in the athletic world that were extremely excited when we were able to make that announcement, and when we can finalize now with that, those more parameters right there. Get that to you here so we can bring it next time that will come in to you. It will be in a board meeting. We'll have it in board briefs updated so you can say, okay, here are the that list and how it's going to work. Then,
so we'd either be voting on, I'm just saying, looking. Do you want to explain what you're?
So you're going to have to decide. I think I would love to hear the conversations right now. You got column one, which is just an equal distribution. If you're either vocal music and or instrumental, or you have column the middle column, which is straight $75 for someone that's in choir and the remaining amount, or you go to, you say okay, or you go to the last column saying the students of an instrument get an automatic 200, whatever amount of students that shift in the future or right now, that is vocation or vocal music, get the remaining division. So that's where you guys get to have a conversation.
So I'm going to ask a question of those that understand the music world, and that's not me. Based on my limited knowledge, I would believe that a something that has an instrument is more costly than something that's non-instrumental. Would that be a fair statement to make?
Short answer, yes. But all music can be expensive. Because when you start talking about show choir or madrigal choir, you're talking about costumes, you're talking about all these other things. When you're talking about musical theater, you're talking about sets, you're talking about having a stage production, right? So when you're talking about vocal music, yes, we typically think of a choir standing on risers performing choral music, but vocal music also involves a lot of other types of performances that might not necessarily be just like traditional choir.
So what are some things, Mary, if, or anyone else, that you would know if we were looking down here at the choirs and choruses that our kids would be paying for or the parents would have to pay for their students?
Black gown.
If I may.
One thing I
you currently have
concert attire.
You have a child.
I have a student lessons, in instruments.
Band. But I do know the choir does have some trips. They take a trip to Mackinac at the middle school choir. The high school choir I know has done trips to New York or down to Disney, which would be expenses for the parent. Families, they, I believe, sometimes do like T-shirts for that year or some sort of, not a uniform, but some sort of shirt that's comparable for each other. For band, well, and for choir, there's also festival, and I feel like they do like soloist festivals as well for band students. There's the solo ensemble fees. There are there's a trip to Kings Island, Cedar Point, not Kings Island, to Cedar Point. It does. I was there a year ago. It's still there.
There about 40 years ago.
And for instruments, there's reeds, there's cork grease, there's all sorts of different things. There could be additional lessons for both situations. Band camp certainly is an expense.
This is just because I played drums in junior high, and I had to buy my own drumsticks. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the band pays for that, the school does, or do they have to buy their own drumsticks?
So for beginning percussionists, they are requested to rent to own or purchase a percussion kit, which, yes, has drumsticks, but it also has like a practice pad for a snare drum, but that it also has a glockenspiel in it, like a metal xylophone. So they can learn malleted instruments, so that then later they can go on to xylophone, marimba, all the others. Not inexpensive.
I'm sure a lot more than when I play.
But you often see walking into the 5-6 building, and what if you previously saw them walking into the 7-8 building, they were the super cool, like trapezoid shaped things on wheels. Those were the percussionists.
Gotcha. So what we will do for you is we'll generate that list from each area there. So you have a really good feel. For example, I totally forgot when they go to solo ensemble, they have to pay for an accompanist. Okay, so you have all these things. So they're going to put that list together so you get a feel. And then, Darla, that might actually help that conversation based off of that list.
What does the choirs do on this side?
Like straight numbers or number numbers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Are there any fundraisers to help offset
that? That's why I was there. The
fee. Yes. Yes. Yes, there are. Yes, they do a variety of fundraisers throughout the year. My daughter started in sixth grade band, and then I think it was last year I heard about the Raise Right fundraiser, which is a platform you can purchase like electronic or physical gift cards, or even when you do online shopping, and you get a certain percentage based on the particular store. And in that year, like, I already have in her account almost enough for the band camp fee this year, which, you know, it's like a year and a half, but, you know, and they do like a chocolate fundraiser. They do all sorts of
stands. Mm-hmm,
dine to donates as well. Which help the boosters offset some of those costs, which the boosters do pay partially for band camp and some other things as well. So, yeah, there's plenty of fundraisers. It's just a matter of if you choose to participate or not.
It seems like since we're getting into this new, mm-hmm, you know, we really don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. It seems like just give everybody the same amount of money, mm-hmm, and then next year let's see what's happened. You know, what was the good in this? What was the bad? Who got shortchanged? Who didn't? Because I know I'm listening to what you guys got to say, and it's like,
yeah,
you know, I don't want.
I can see your point on that.
Yeah, just trying to be fair with everybody for the first time into this, mm-hmm, and then next year say, well, they got screwed. They got too much, and we can adjust it accordingly.
Well, for example, I know that they need new drum. They need new drums for their drum line. They also are moving to a different marching shoe, so all the kids are going to be responsible for the cost of their new marching shoes, which sometimes last you from freshman year to senior year, and sometimes you're getting out of them, you know, it just happens. So those are other costs, but I'd be interested to know how many more students came out for sports because we took that cost away.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I know that was a discussion.
For winter sports, at least.
Fair enough. Right, fall, winter.
Because we did that when? We just did that.
Last summer.
What, it was
last summer? Last June.
Last
Last year.
So, really so that would have been the start.
It would have been for this school year.
Because football would have already, well, football had already signed up, didn't they?
But they didn't.
No, they wouldn't have fully signed up. They.
So that would be a good number to know.
Yeah.
Good point.
Because I kind of feel like if we're going to, you know, give that to these students, we might see an increase in students as well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Enter that number.
That's the end goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To get these kids involved in something.
Right. Yeah. If they couldn't
something,
afford
whatever
it.
Whatever they love.
Yeah.
Please do this.
Engage
and
them.
And let's help them.
Yeah.
So okay. One of the things that in our wonderful conversation that Brett did, that both of our band directors did share, is that they have an extra instrument. You know, so every child, they come out, there's an instrument available. And so they're at that stage where they do have that ability there. So they're actually looking, because different ways this year they're describing for the recruitment for next year's down in, you know, kids that are currently in fourth grade, what that'll look like. So they're really helping try to steer students.
We've bought instruments since we've sat on the board, because I remember the conversation.
Yeah. We've been investing there.
Yeah.
But we'll find out, though, too, though, because like I said, we already had an idea at the high school level, but we'll dig in about what parents are paying for in these different areas right there you see on that list, okay?
Okay.
And get that to you. But that's, any other questions on that one item?
No.
Yeah. Wonderful.
It's a good thing. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, that was a nice way you worked that out.
Yeah.
The team that did
when
that.
You see Brett Goodman, just look at him and say thank you, because it was really... Yeah.
It was a really nice conversation, cut you off.
No, but it was. We were trying to navigate it, and all of a sudden, he came up with that, like, everyone in the room, the lights kind of went off, like, there we go. So it just was a beautiful way to handle it. Mm-hmm. So then the last item I have is, we're trying to really look at the next 6 months in the workshops and requests that board members have. And so we provided to you last week all the workshops that we know that are coming up in the next 6 months. And then, and please understand, we didn't mean if we forgot something there, but we know that there's certain ones that we have to bring in front of you. And so what we wanted to do is just, if you just take a couple minutes tonight and say, okay, did we forget something that we needed to get on this list to have a conversation over? That's the ask here.
Yeah, the one thing I brought up this morning was, and I think it was Carrie or Mary brought up, half-day versus full-day PD.
Yep. Yep.
And so we can add that to the list.
Yep, that's on there. It was, where I thought we had it on there due to calendar.
It's probably like just under calendar.
Would that fall under the 26-27 calendar?
Yes, that's where I put it right there.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay, so not specific, but under there.
Yep, because that was one that we knew that the PD was going to be have a conversation on that one. Yep. Oh, good.
Start talking about the calendar.
Perfect.
And also specifically, just for clarity on that request, is to also talk about the financial implications of both of those plans, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yes.
Thank you.
You'll have all of it.
Do you remember that conversation we had when we talked about that? And I brought up the full days, and it was like, yeah, but so much money. I remember that.
And the attendance information on our current half days of school. Because there's a lot of like data points to consider in that conversation. So I just want to make sure that we have that information coming into the meeting so that we can.
Because we had, I think, one half day where we did not have enough students to record it as a day.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 75%?
75%. And we were sitting, I think it was 72 that day.
That was one of the things to put truancy or attendance back on the agenda because we met with the prosecutor out at his thing and then make sure that's coming up soon.
Yep.
So that that and then the grades, obviously, two separate conversations. But
so I appreciate that.
Were you for that meeting?
It was a beautiful.
No, I was in Cancun getting a tan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I instigated it.
You know,
it was separating attendance. It was separating attendance from grades.
So what our goal is here is to take and, like we did on the front page right here you see, is to take and next week to for Tom and I to build out workshops. Once you guys make your decision tomorrow night on the calendar, then we start to build them out. And knowing that if we need to throw a special workshop in there for something else or into the board meeting, or understand there's going to be something we forgot. I shouldn't say we forgot. I mean, we went through prior years of workshops that we've had from now till July. It's something that may pop up that we didn't see coming. For example, there may be further conversation on buses that we want to have really take a lot more time on in a workshop, okay? So that would be instantly put back on there, too. Mm-hmm. So please know that's the list. So if there's anything else, so I just want to know if there's anything you're going, hey, I really want to see that on there besides what you currently see.
This moment, I think as long as we, realize we've already had a truancy conversation, we need another one, as long as we realize that they need to be another.
Once we set the schedules, Andy said tomorrow, then we'll start filling in for the work sessions what the topic's going to be.
And then we identified that tomorrow, because student data and the index review are both in the short work session, that's like massive amounts of information. So that may need to go on an immediate work session so that we can complete that discussion, because it had to be switched.
Yep, it did. And so what we did, though, in your packet, just so you know, there's this, this right here. If you take it, bring it back. Okay, we're not going to go kill another tree for tomorrow night. So this is the information we'll be going over tomorrow night. So that way it gives you an opportunity to go through it and look at questions. We also put documents, and it's same materials that I emailed out. So if you don't, it was ones that were already emailed. So if you work off of electronics, please use that. But that will help jumpstart tomorrow night. So I do appreciate the conversations tonight. And that's all I have, sir.
Very good. I guess public commentary. Do we have any?
No, I don't think so. Nothing
for them. Very good. Okay. Then can I get a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Support.
Show of hands. Thank you. Let's go home. That concludes our agenda. The Monroe Public Schools Board of Education special work session for Monday, January 12th, 2026 is adjourned. The time is 6:57.